Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Pop Between Worlds. We're your hosts, Steve and Ollie, and today we're going to talk about some Mando news related to the trailer. We got some Boba Fett stuff, and we're going to talk about some Thrawn coming in hot.
All right.
I don't know.
Steven, what do we have?
What do we have? Well, we have beer. Mm-hmm. Lola's famous now because she was on the stream. We're going to talk about some Mandalorian stuff. So let's lead off about the trailer.
Okay.
We already did our breakdown.
Yep.
We've done the planets. You did the video on the planets.
Well, so let's go over it real quick for people who only listen to the podcast.
Okay. All right.
You want me to start?
Okay.
Yeah,
take it away.
Yeah, it was exciting. I thought it was good. I thought it looked good. I didn't think there was anything too crazy. I didn't think there was anything too spoilery. Me and you had talked about it in the past. I was kind of happy that, well, we should say we're going to talk about the trailer a little bit. So spoiler alert, if you for some reason haven't seen it and want to not be spoiled by it, may want to check out for a little bit. But I was actually pumped that Ahsoka wasn't in it because I think that's a better way to do it. I do think she'll be in the season, which we'll get into later. But I was happy she wasn't in the trailer. It was neat to see. I think Sasha Banks was the one that they threw in there that was supposed to be kind of the aha moment. I was actually kind of surprised that people didn't know it was Sasha Banks because I don't know Sasha Banks well. And the first time viewing it, I could tell it was her instantly. So I don't know what the confusion was. I get the confusion on the character because it could be a million different people, but I didn't get the confusion on like the actress. Like it was very like, again, I don't know her that well. I've seen a couple pictures when they said she might be in it, and I knew right away it was her. So it was odd to me that maybe people were watching on their phone or something, but I thought it was a pretty clear view. So that was cool. Got some good action. Got a good voiceover. You know me. I love the planets and the aliens and stuff like that, so I got to kind of feast on that and go into some theories with that. But all in all, I thought it was great. It was pretty short, right, for an overall trailer. This is kind of more of like a in-between.
2 minutes.
Was it?
Yeah, it was 2 minutes.
Oh, all right. So it'll be interesting because there'll be more.
It didn't seem as long as it should. Yeah, it felt like it was short. I'll agree with you there, but gotcha. It was definitely 2 minutes.
So well, obviously, I'm excited because this is actually my favorite part. Actually, after the trailer comes out, there's just random TV spots that keep showing up. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. We've got one so far, but I guess I had no new footage. So. That's always fun because that just happens randomly. You could be watching TV or you'll see it on like Star Wars leaks, you know, on like a Reddit or a YouTube, like it'd be a TV spot number two and there'll be like one new scene, you know what I mean? Or like a different angle of a scene. So I'm excited for those. I think that's where we'll get Ahsoka. I think we'll get her own like TV spot way closer to the release is I think what they're going to do. Because remember that rumor that like she filmed like 2 weeks before they originally thought the trailer was going to come out, like some like promo thing. I think that's where that's going to come into play. I think they're going to do that real close to the thing, maybe even have her own like full trailer where like not her own full trailer, but like where this same trailer, like after 2 minutes goes to like Mandalorian season two. And then like the last scene, like it was like a 2 second scene of Ahsoka, like, and then she's like standing there. You know what I mean? I think that's what that is. That's just my guess. But overall, yeah, trailer wise, I thought it was a lot of fun. I mean, as far as trailers go, I think it was, for me, I think it was a perfect trailer. That's weird to say, but in my mind, like, I don't think it gave away too much, gave you a little taste, you know what I mean? Got me excited, and it was pretty simple. I really think it didn't show, and there wasn't much I think you could connect, other than it did, I think, give us the general plot line. If there was any wondering, it seems like it very much is... Let's follow the Mandalorian as he goes to try to get Baby Yoda to his home family. It seems like it's going to be more Jedi than his species, but we'll see. But it kind of gave that impression. So I thought it was good. What'd you think? It was terrible.
Yeah, it was terrible. No, I liked it. I thought it was cool. Definitely, you know, it hit my expectations, most of my expectations on what we were thinking in terms of where the plot could be going, obviously with Baby Yoda and everything, trying to figure out, you know, what his species is, what, you know, find out more of his background. So I thought, you know, I like that aspect, that's where the story is going, which is cool. I like Sasha Banks as well. I thought a lot of people were mistaking her as right off the bat as a Jedi. And I didn't, I actually was one of the first, like, I didn't feel that. I didn't feel that way. Like, when I saw her, I didn't think, oh, she's a Jedi. So that
was one of the... Let's not say mistaking her as a Jedi, because we don't know who she is. So she could be a Jedi. Right. But yeah, I get what you're saying.
I would have a hard time believing that she'd be a Jedi, though.
Right, but we don't know who it is. So I just want to make sure you're not caught in the... You said she's not a Jedi. Right, yeah, I got you.
Not confirmed she's not a Jedi, but I have a hard time believing that she is one, so...
I think it was just the simple, like we talked about in the breakdown. They were talking, the voiceover was talking about Jedi, that's when she shows up, and apparently there was like a dark saber ignition sound, which I listened to it 100 times, and I don't get it. There's music going on, so I'm not saying it's not there, it's just not obvious to me. And to me, if there is that dark saber ignition sound there, that leads me even more to believe she's not anything to do with the Jedi, because that is more of a symbol of Mandalore than it is of the Jedi. So that leads me to think more along the lines of Sabine, which I know everybody's upset about in different ways, but it could be Ketso Onyo, which was one of Sabine's kind of friends that was like a bounty hunter Mandalorian that kind of left Mandalore at the same time as Sabine. Or it could just be a random Mandalorian.
I'll ask about that after, but
I think with the darksaber thing, like, you know what I mean, like that leads me to believe more that than it does Jedi.
Yeah. Besides that, I mean, like I said, I like the trailer. I mean, we can get into more of the specifics like we're talking about right now. So
I want to make it official too. Instead of the child or Baby Yoda, I am now calling it Baby Yaddle.
Why Baby Yaddle?
For no reason whatsoever. Okay. Just because, like, you get like the child, and then people are like, well, it's not Baby Yoda, it's not this. It's like, all right, fine, Baby Yaddle. That's what I'm calling.
Yeah. Well, so one of the biggest things, and you just mentioned, was Ahsoka. And seeing this trailer, which was awesome.
Ahsoka not being there. Because some people thought Ahsoka was Sasha Banks at first. It was so much confusion with that. I don't know what was going on. But anyways, Ahsoka wasn't in it. Yep.
All right. So I think with that, so Ahsoka not being in the trailer is fine.
I think I actually dig it.
I think Ahsoka, actually, to be quite honest, I would find her... So season one, let's go back to season one for a second. You had the whole reveal of the child. You had Baby Yoda.
Right.
First episode, big reveal, everything. I have a feeling, and unless, you know, we get, knowing me, we're going to get a trailer tomorrow and Ahsoka's going to be in it and everything. But I feel like Ahsoka would be that kind of reveal that we kind of know she's coming. We don't know. It's not confirmed. It's rumored. It's all nothing's confirmed with Ahsoka anywhere. Mm-hmm. Everyone says IDMB. No, that doesn't mean it's confirmed until Lucasfilms literally, or any trailer comes out or anything like that, or pretty damn good source. Mm-hmm. So because of that, I would feel that Ahsoka might be revealed. It would be a surprise reveal in the season, more so than a trailer, another trailer. That's my gut feeling. I think people have been building up this Ahsoka thing so much that it kind of invites that opportunity, because now it's like, everyone's like, oh yeah, Ahsoka's going to be in the trailer. Oh, we're going to see Ahsoka before. Like, okay, what happens if we don't see her?
So I dig this. I think this is the perfect time for that, like, anti-marketing thing, is that it's so built up now that don't show her in the trailer. And she probably doesn't show up till like halfway or maybe the end of the season. So it'd be even better, because people would just nonstop talk about, is Ahsoka not in it? Did they actually not put... Dude, it'd be the best marketing ever. I mean, I want to see her. Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to be like... I'd be happy for the trailer, but I think it'd be a fascinating, like, case study, because she's not confirmed officially. And like, if she just doesn't show up in trailers, and imagine if she doesn't show up till like the 8th episode of the season, you know, people are going to be like, she's not even in it.
Well, that's the, yeah. And that's
unless the storyline starts pointing towards it. So, yeah.
Right. But like that, see, that's my, but like when we saw season one of The Mandalorian, when we didn't see Baby Yoda, like we had no clue that was coming.
I think someone said that there was someone who said, they were searching, they had like this child thing like as a rumor, and they also had that there would be a Yoda species in the season, but I think they were saying that even even on Reddit had it together, you know what I mean?
Any, I'm just saying like mainstream, no one had any clue.
That's why Ahsoka's totally different, because everyone thinks Ahsoka's in it or knows Ahsoka's in it, whatever,
right? Yeah. So then if it would make sense to me that if they were like, all right, we're not gonna put in the trailers, it's gonna build up that talk like you're saying,
right?
And then she's revealed.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be one, I guess, one of the reveals, because one of the other ones that we were going to start talking about is Boba Fett. Same kind of deal. It's, you know, I hope we don't see a Boba Fett reveal in the trailer. I want to see Boba Fett, but
you
I
say feel like Boba that's... Fett so odd. It's like perfectly in the middle of Bubba and Boba. Like I couldn't even pronounce it like you. It's like Bubba. It's like right in the middle of the two things.
Whatever.
No, it's not important. I just like, because you're not saying Bubba, so it's not wrong. I just like, I don't even know how you say it. It confuses me. It doesn't confuse me. It fascinates me. No, it's not. It's not a big deal. I just can't even say it like you. It's like right in the, it's like a different language. It's like right in the middle of Bubba and Boba. Not important.
I'll call him.
Just
Bubba,
keep calling him what you. Just keep calling, like it's just gonna confuse. Just go with it. I just thought I'd mention it because it cracks me up every time. There's no right, anyway. Dude. There's no right. People say all different stuff wrong. I say stuff wrong, so it's not a big deal. There's no wrong and right.
Anyways, I think he's gonna be a key reveal.
You think he's the big one? Okay.
I think he's gonna be the big one, but I think Ahsoka, that's gonna be the wild card too. Because I got that feeling that season one, they pulled that shit out and it threw everybody off.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to just not do that for the second season. Like, I just can't see them being like, all right, here's all the players. Here's the cast. Like, all right, let's go into season two. I feel like they're going to hold something up their sleeve. So that's just my opinion.
Gotcha.
And all these.
Favreau has said there's going to be a big twist that maybe even will be bigger than Baby Yoda. Baby Yaddle, sorry. I think that just to jump on this like the twist line, I don't think in today's like media and stuff, you can have, it's very hard to have a twist with a character because of actors and like confirming stuff. And like Morrison's agency said he was in it or something. I think that's the latest thing. So like, no, I think it's almost impossible to hide people. So I think the twist, you can go, the Boba Fett thing, what was his?
So it was his on his CV listing on the website. So it was in print that it listed that it was The Mandalorian season 2 2020 and that he was in it. So
gotcha. Did it say Boba Fett on there, or it just said he was in the season?
It just said he was in the season.
So he could still be Rex. But regardless, it could be any clone technically.
I'm pretty sure that's...
But the thing for me is like, I don't think the big twist is going to be a character. I think it's going to be like Baby Yaddle goes bad or something.
It does say Boba Fett. Sorry. Okay.
Well, there you go. So I think that's where it's going to come in. I just don't think you can hide. Like, it seems like in this environment, like today's media and just access to like quick stuff, I just feel like it's so hard to film and have someone not know you are part of something.
Unless the Boba Fett, unless the VC is purposely to throw people off.
Yeah, I mean, you could do, I mean, the way you would do that is more of a twist like that. You know he's in it. He's just not Boba Fett, what you were expecting. He's Rex, right? Like that would be the twist.
Maybe they purposely did that to throw that out there.
Rosario Dawson's in it, but she's not Ahsoka. You know what I mean? Like something like that.
Oh,
like I don't think that.
Fuck?
I'm just saying like that would be, I feel like that's the only way you can do like a twist. Cause it seems like it's pretty hard to hide people unless it's like one little scene. Like I could see like Palpatine being in it for one scene and that's the twist. Like Ian McDiarmid came back and did like a scene and he could just do it from home. You know what I mean? Like that kind of, cause he's like, maybe they make him like so decrepit in the clone body in Exegol, they don't even need him to film. He just does a voiceover, like something like that. But I just don't think that. I don't think that Ahsoka or Boba Fett or Cobb Vanth or any of these people are going to be. I don't think they're going to be the twist. I think they're going to be in it, and it's going to be a surprise a little bit. You know what I mean? And nice to see. I just don't think they're the big twist that Favreau was talking about. I don't know what it is, but I just I think yeah. it's more of a, I think it's more of a story beat or a plot beat than it is a character.
Maybe, yeah. I mean,
that's just my feeling. Like I you know.
I just feel yeah. There's gonna be a twist. There's gonna be something that's gonna grow.
He said he thinks it's bigger than Baby Yaddle. So.
Yeah. So well, did he say Baby Yaddle or did he say Baby Yoda?
I think he said the child, which is the correct
answer. Okay, there you go.
I'm just being an a-hole with the Baby Yaddle thing. But anyways.
Well, half the people don't even know who Yaddle is. So.
I just want to see the comments like, it's not Baby Yaddle.
She wasn't even alive. How do you know? Did she actually die?
She, I think, is unconfirmed because she actually left. Or did... There's something weird there. There's something with like in Legends, she like sacrificed herself to do something, but then I don't think that's part of canon now because she's not. She's only in the Phantom Menace. She's not in the Jedi Order. But in canon, I believe she's not in the Jedi Order by the time right. of Attack of the Clones. So she doesn't participate in the Clone War. So right. I don't. I think she's just left open ended. Yeah, and I don't think she ended up on any like the. The comic like bounty list when they were hunting down like Jedi that were still at large, so maybe that suggests she's dead. Anyways, not important. That's no. That's a deep.
No, dive. It's just interesting.
I believe never... in Legends she killed herself, like protecting. She like did something to like sacrifice herself to protect younglings or something like that. But I think in canon that's not confirmed, and she's just not in the other movies. She's like not part of the Jedi Order by that time, or at least not part of the Council.
Yeah. So. Yeah, it'll be interesting. We'll see what kind of twists come with Mandalorian season two. So
do you want to give? You want to talk about who you think Sasha Banks is with the Jedi thing, or just like you just don't think she's a Jedi?
I just don't. Well, what do I think she is?
Yeah.
I mean, did we talk about this on the breakdown? I don't think we.
A little bit, but a just, little bit. Yeah. So all the other media had come out where people like don't think she's Sabine because. She doesn't have like Asian heritage and stuff like that.
I mean, that was kind of like, that was for a split second. I thought maybe she could be Sabine.
I just thought she was Sabine and still think she might be Sabine just because of the, I think it's just based on the rumor that was like 6 months ago when she got like, when people were like, oh, she's in it and she's Sabine. So I just assumed she was.
So why does she have to be? So I guess my question is, why does she have to be Asian?
Just because I guess they were drawn like in Star Wars, Rebels, she is drawn as like a space Asian. I mean, it's not in our galaxy, so there's no Asian, but, like Pablo Hidalgo confirmed it at one time that they were supposed to be from like an Asian heritage background.
Okay.
So it's just a thing that like you would prefer that some people would prefer if obviously if she was designed as Asian and that could be like Middle Eastern too. The dad I think looks more like Pacific Islander, Middle Eastern than like Eastern Asian, but and obviously the voice actress Tia Sakaar is I think is from Indian heritage, which is still considered you know Asian. So I think people were just upset that if Sasha Banks is playing. If Sasha Banks is playing Sabine, that she doesn't have Asian heritage, which, you know, that's up to Disney and stuff like that. I think Sasha Banks has like a look that is similar, but I could be jaded by like the purple hair and stuff. You know what I mean? That just
she does have purple hair though.
Well, she dies. She doesn't have natural purple hair.
Well, no, I know what you mean. No, but like she does dye her hair like that. So
right. Yeah. Maybe. I mean, it kind of, so I think, I mean, if you want to go by that, I think the Ketso Onyo, which I'll have to look up if that's the exact pronunciation. She was in Rebels too. She was, she was friends with, well, kind of friends. They were like, they battled a little bit, but they were friends in, do you remember her? She's the Mandalorian. She also is like kind of an artist, kind of artsy Mandalorian that left, I believe they left around the same time. And she was a bounty hunter. And she's
like a Mohawk.
Yeah. And she has a look that's very similar to Sasha Banks. So it could be her. And maybe she went to help, obviously Mandalorian wise, that lines up. And she could be like, obviously there's always like, she could be a new character. I went in, do a little bit of a breakdown there. There's a super interesting, I believe the user's name was Wyclef on Reddit brought up from the comics that the whole dock, the ships, the hooded figure looked very much like the scene from this comic where Luke goes looking for somebody from a vision that was supposed to help him find his lightsaber or something in general. And it's very similar looking and a very similar setup to the scene, like almost exactly. You should check out the comic. And that lady is Verla. It wouldn't be Verla. She's like way older. She has like white hair and like piercing blue eyes. She looks nothing like Sasha Banks, but it could be like if Verla maybe started down the line, maybe she started like an acolyte kind of thing. You know what I mean? And she could be an acolyte from the beyond. I don't know. I'm willing to be surprised. I'm excited for it. I mean, Sabine, I think just fits in terms of like story arc. If you're gonna bring Ahsoka in and the Mandalorian and the Darksaber, and if Bo-Katan's gone, and if the Mandalorians look, you know what I mean? Sabine, the character, fits really well. So I think that on top of the original rumor that Sasha Banks was playing Sabine is, I think, why it just like clicked when I saw it, and I was like, oh, that's Sabine. But it doesn't have to be. She can come in. She can be played by someone
So,
else and come in later, you know?
why wouldn't you think it's a Jedi?
Why wouldn't I think it's a Jedi? My
Yeah.
opinion is, I don't like when we say Jedi, like I don't think we're gonna see a ton. So at this point, I don't think, what is this, 5 years after Endor and Jakku,
Yeah.
Luke's kind of out there. I mean, I guess it could be.
Very, very hard, like very, very unlikely that
Yeah,
it
I
is,
felt
though.
like from what I understand canon-wise, and when Luke finally sets up his temple, and he's with Ben and stuff, I don't think this is when he would have like a he would have trainees or Padawan, whatever he would call them at this point. I just think this is too early. I think this is when he's out on his own. What is Ben probably five right now? So I don't think he's with Luke yet. I think this is when he's on his own and he's like looking for Jedi relics and stuff. So I don't think he has like followers yet. You know what I mean?
And the fact that he mentions like evil sorcerers in the trailer, it's kind of like,
I just think people are misled by
what?
because they're saying that line. When
Right.
that happens, that happens all the time in trailers. They're trying to do that, and then she has a hood. But like, hood doesn't mean like Jedi or Sith or anything like that. There's a ton of times when like, in Bo-Katan and Sabine's mom are roaming around kind of hidden, and they have hoods. Like everyone uses hoods, and you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
you know, his parents were wearing hoods in like the flashback. Din Djarin's parents were like, the mom was wearing a hood. So like, that doesn't really say anything to me. And people are saying, oh, it was a black hood, and like you could see that she didn't have colored hair or whatever. And it's like, what? It's like in the background, smoky, like in the darkness. Like it could be like a brown hood that's dark brown, and she could have bright purple hair under there. You know what I mean? Like from that scene, you definitely can't tell that. But yeah, no, I don't know who it is. I think, again, I think Sabine's in it. And I think Sabine is an important link to Ahsoka and the Mandalore. She makes more sense than Ahsoka in a way, right? Because of
Yeah.
Mandalore and everything like that. But her and Ahsoka are like they're kind of linked at this point. So it makes sense. And I'm not saying that she's a main character, but it makes sense that if one of them's in it, the other one is, right? Or you have
Yeah.
to explain why the other one isn't, you know?
Right.
So either way, it's like if one of them's in it, there has to be a mention of the other one, in my mind. So I think Sabine's in it, and again, just from the rumor originally that Sasha was playing her, I think that's why I thought that. But yeah, she doesn't have to show up on Mon Cal or Sirelia, wherever that is, in a hood. Like it doesn't have to be her. I think Sabine's in it, and whether Sasha Banks is or isn't Sabine, great. You know what I mean? Like
I
if
would be
she's
fine. I
not, like
mean,
that's just another cool character. Like I'm into that. You know what I
and
mean?
if she is, I'm fine with that too. Like, I mean, I thought that was a good casting. I mean, it's
Yeah, it
if
doesn't.
she
I mean,
is, it doesn't bother me at all. So,
So, yeah.
all right. So I guess well, that'll wrap up our Mandalorian talk. I mean, we already talked about Boba Fett. Well, we didn't really get into what kind of impact, I guess, but we've talked about that quite a bit in previous podcasts.
What's that?
Well, like if Boba Fett was in Mando season two, like what kind of impact would that be? Like in terms of like you got out of the whatchamacallit. Why am I drawing a blank right now? What's the name of it? The pit.
Oh, the Sarlacc pit.
Sarlacc pit. or that could be like Cop Vamp, like you were saying.
Yeah, somebody broke down that like speeder bike scene real quick, and they think they see his jetpack and his helmet on the side. It's pretty blurry, but it could be.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like Boba Fett. I think he's cool. I'll make this quick, but I'll be completely honest. Like, I don't know where he fits into this story. I mean, I know he's a Mandalorian, quote unquote. And I know that he, is a bounty hunter. So you would think those two things naturally connect, but like from what I know of like where he's been in canon and stuff, like he is a clone. He's an unaltered clone, right? That didn't get like the sped up gene and stuff. There's like an argument in canon if Jango's actually a Mandalorian to begin with. Boba, as far as I know, doesn't really spend any time on Mandalore. He's not like based on a Mandalore. He gets basically raised by bounty hunters. You know what I mean? So other than his armor, like if his dad wasn't even really seen by Mandalore as a Mandalorian, and now he's like the next generation slash clone of his dad, and he doesn't grow up or do anything with Mandalore. I mean, maybe that's part of the season of Din like accepting him back into Mandalore, and Boba feels, but Boba was always kind of just like a lone gunman kind of thing. And he always leaned more, it always seemed like he leaned more, slightly more evil than what they're portraying Din to be, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think Boba would have had a problem pulling the trigger on the child, right? Like, yeah, I don't see that in Boba's character. Like, he goes for money, I get it, but I don't really think he has, like, this good streak that Din has. You know what I mean? Like, he never struck me as that. Like,
I don't think he ever did. I mean, from the Clone Wars on. I mean,
right,
like,
so what are we going to battle? What are they going to battle each other? Like, I don't see Boba's relationship to Mandalore other than the armor. And I never saw him as like being a good, like even like a neutral guy, you know?
Maybe that's the twist. Maybe that's the
he's
big twist.
Bring him on his side or something? Or,
yeah. Maybe. I don't know.
It's weird to bring him back and not. I mean, if they bring him back, I hope it's not just to bring him back to like, oh, cool, he's alive. But I don't get what you do with him to me. I mean, I like Boba. I'm not a huge Boba Fett fan, but I like him. I like the look of it. I mean, he basically is the reason the whole history of Mandalore was created for all this stuff, right? But like,
I was going to say the same thing. I'm not thrilled with it.
I'd rather see Boba before. You know what I mean?
I was never like a diehard Boba Fett fan.
Right.
So like, I mean, I like him, but like,
give me Boba Fett before
A
New Hope.
I need him. Yeah, I wouldn't need him in the show.
Give me a bounty hunter movie. With him before A New Hope and them just doing shenanigans, like hunting people down. Like, that'd be cool. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I don't know that I need him back. But, I mean, if they bring him back, trust me. I do trust in Filoni and Favreau for their storytelling and, like, especially Filoni's build out of Mandalore. Basically, the Mandalorians are his. You know what I mean? In a real way. So you know, I'm not pissed that Boba's in it and I'm not super worried. I just, for me, like... I don't know. I don't know where it goes.
Just we can't.
Yeah, I think Cobb Vanth is interesting, but I don't find Boba super compelling. But maybe not. Maybe he'll be my favorite character this season.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll have to look back and just make it eat your words.
I'm perfectly happy to. If he's that cool and they have a cool storyline, I'm all in. You know, I'll be the first one to admit it. But yeah, I just don't. He's much less interesting to me than Sabine and Ahsoka and that whole storyline, you know what I mean, and Gideon but we'll see.
Yeah, that makes more sense that way, but yeah, I agree. But all right, so we're gonna move on from the Mandalorian stuff. Now we're gonna talk about some Thrawn.
Well, squadrons, right? Do a quick squadrons thing, or do you want to do Thrawn last, right?
Oh, okay, we'll do
squadrons will be quicker. That's and then fine. we'll jam on Thrawn for a little bit.
All right.
So squadrons, CGI trailer came out. CGI short, I guess it's called, came out. Looked amazing. No gameplay. It was like an animated thing. And kind of did a little bit of the background on Gray. What's his first name?
Varko Gray,
who's going to be like kind of the lead, I believe, of the evil Empire's side in squadrons. And it just kind of shows a different angle, kind of humanizes him a little bit. You know what I mean? Makes the rebels look like the bad guy in this situation. But people were super excited about it. Steve is, I think, the same as me, right? We kind of talked about it before. Like, you thought it was cool, but didn't really get you hyped for the game necessarily. Like, it was cool on its own, but didn't
Cool
really
on
do
its own,
anything
but
for the
not
game.
like
Yeah.
there's no
I think it's just
gameplay,
setting
so it's
stuff up.
not it,
Yeah.
yeah, it's
To give
not
you a
it's a,
little
that was
background.
more of a, yeah, it was more of a story setup. That wasn't really
Yeah.
like at this point, at this stage, I'm more like, all right, show me a little more gameplay, what's going on. But even then, I'm like, it's a
Right. I
month
think it'd
away.
be so that's my a little bit my confusion, right? So I'm assuming we're gonna get at least one more of like the rebel leader, right? Wouldn't that make sense? But I think it
Yeah,
would have
we're
been
gonna.
cool, and maybe it's way too much work because that did seem like it was a lot of work because it looked amazing. I would I think it would have been cool to maybe even cut down the length or quality and do one for all of the other pilot characters. Right? Have each one have a little thing. Because I think that'd be almost like when you know it's going to be in the game. I think it may even be out, but like you can like you know how like when the game comes out, you'll be able to read like a little paragraph about each one, right? Like it'll be like this guy did this girl did this alien did this. It'd be cool if that was just in like these little mini trailers and one released every week leading up to the launch. But I don't think we have enough time for that. So I think we're just going to get one of the rebel leader if we get anything at all. Here's my big takeaway. Again, didn't do a ton for me for the game. I'm excited about the game. There was no gameplay. I think it just gave us a little background. Cool. I'm all in for it. Why it excited me so much is the format of it and how it looked was amazing. And I am not in animation. I am not in computer design like on that end. I am kind of a graphic designer on the side, so like I can only imagine how much work it takes. But again, it's Lucasfilm, right? It's a huge place to, you know what I'm saying? And it's Disney, they can put the money behind it. It gives me insane hope that we could get a series like this someday. Like, this would be awesome. This would almost be as good as live action, right? Like, give me this as the next animated series, okay? And I wouldn't even think twice about, like, is it live action? Is it like, because I believe some of the assets used are like the same exact ones that we had in like Rogue One that looked amazing. You know what I mean? Some of the CGI. So it looks real in a lot of the scenes. Obviously, they haven't figured out the whole uncanny valley thing with life forms and stuff like that, like humans and stuff. But I'm willing to accept that if we get, I mean, that'd be amazing. Can you imagine if like that's how Rebels was animated?
Be
It
interesting.
would have been awesome. Not that I'm not like, I appreciate the cartoon side of it. I'm not a huge cartoon person, but, and I appreciate that work, but this would be killer for me. I would love that. Like, I've always thought that, like the so many games have those like super good, like even Diablo had these amazing looking like cutscenes. Like, give me just a show of that, right? Like, give me like, you know.
But isn't there is a reason why they don't do that though, right?
I mean, I think
Like,
there's shows like that. There's been movies, right? Like, aren't there? There've been a few. Wasn't there a Final Fantasy movie that was like that? Like, super good
oh my
CGI.
God, I was thinking that too, right in my
That's
head.
the
I was
only
like,
one
oh,
I could come up with because of video games
that
and stuff.
movie
But there has to
was
be.
garbage,
Was it? Okay.
but
But
oh
like,
God, was
yeah,
that
I mean,
awful.
there had to be movies like that, no?
That came out like, well, I don't know. I mean, I guess you could say like Attila. Like that one,
The girl is, right?
yeah, the girl is, but
Wasn't Ghost in the Shell like really animated at points, or is that just bad
at
CGI?
points, but it was just, yeah, God, that let's not talk about that movie. But
Okay. All right.
I have
Okay.
very strong
Yeah,
opinions
I
on that
think
movie.
there have been animated things. I mean, maybe it's a ton of work. Maybe that's why it's there have been movies, and maybe I'm missing something. But like, maybe if it's even toned down a little bit, like, I think a show like that would be awesome, you know? And it gives me hope that there could be something like that. 'Cause dude, how pumped would you be if that was like if you saw that and then they were like mini series coming out with six episodes that are each an hour long? That'd be unbelievable.
I don't,
No, I guess
well,
not.
no, I mean, like, you already have shows that utilize a lot of that technology and CGI and stuff. So it's kind of like, why would you go down the route, the path of, all right, let's substitute humans with like CGI stuff. I mean, when we could just do it with the CGI already, like The Mandalorian. That's the only thing I would think about.
Don't have to pay actors as much. Voice actors are cheaper than real actors, and they don't have to be on site. And
I guess
I'm sure there's a lot of advantages.
There's a give and take there though too. I mean, yeah, production wise, there's probably you're gonna have to expand production probably a ton because of that. But I don't know. I'm just thinking about that. Like,
regardless of the money, but I'm just saying, if it was possible, I'd be so pumped. That'd be awesome to see. I think that'd be really cool.
Yeah, it'd be cool. We'll have to see if they keep moving forward with that kind of technology. I mean, that's pretty cool. That trailer itself was really awesome to see.
Yeah.
Or that short, I should say. You know, that was definitely like the big thing for me. But like I said, like story.
Yeah.
Cool. It introduces a character. That's pretty cool. Maybe we'll get a novel out of it or something at some point too.
It'll hold more. Like maybe once you're done with the story of Star Wars Squadrons, maybe that will be cooler story wise because you'll get more. You know what I mean? Like we don't know him yet.
Right.
So it's like, I don't care yet. You know what I mean? And this one just didn't make me care, to be honest with you. But like maybe when I'm done with the storyline, I'll be like, oh, that's awesome. Like, you know what I mean? It'll shed new light on it.
Yeah. And I mean, the other thing too that I'm thinking of is this is going to be a very specific game in terms of who's going to actually play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not even every Star Wars video gamer, I guess, per se, is going to play this game. So
a bunch of them, I think, will try it. I don't think a lot of people will stick around. It'll be a hardcore fan base that sticks around. Dude, I'm thinking about buying a HOTAS to play it.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It'd be fun.
I'm sure. No, I'm sure. I can't picture you using it. I don't know.
I used one for $50. I've been looking at a bunch. Like, it's not, I'm not going crazy. I'm not buying like $1,000 one. I'm not sitting in a chair VR. I just want instead of using a mouse and keyboard or controller, use like the flight stick and the throttle. I think that'd be cool.
All right.
Well, maybe I'm on the fence. I think I'll play it first and see if I love it. And if I love it, I'll consider doing that. Or if I can find a cheap one, like borrow someone's. But like, I just think it'd be cool. I think it'd be way more immersive.
I hope so. And I hope that this game does have more DLC that comes out along with it later on too. That's one of the things I'm a little bit, I guess not nervous about, but kind of like knowing EA, just give us content. You gotta get like,
I don't think there'll be any more story content. I think there will be planets that they release I think it'll take a while, and I think if they get a base and it does, I'm not saying like esports necessarily, but if it does have like a really good competitive base, it'd be awesome if it was, because it's unique. You know what I mean? It's going to be super unique. And if it was like balanced enough, it'd be fascinating if this became like had an esports scene. Then you'd definitely get, if it was able to get to that point, then you'd definitely get new planets and stuff like that, maybe new ships. But I think right now it's probably like, they're probably like, I don't know how it works, but I would imagine there are some things in progress, maybe some new ships, maybe some new planets. And it's more like maybe they have one release set, you know what I mean? That they're definitely going to do. And the rest depend on how it goes, you know?
Yeah.
It'll be fun to see if it's fun. Like the story missions and stuff will be entertaining. I'm very interested to see if I'll be hooked by the actual like strategic 5-on-5 main multiplayer thing and ranked. I wonder if it'll catch me, you know? Because I love 5v5 strategic type games. You know what I mean? That's like, it's one of my jams. So like to do it in space, like, you know what I mean? Like just to have a whole different version take on it. That's not a, you know, first person shooter. It'd be interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see.
Yeah.
So that comes out next month. So I think we're going to move on from Star Wars Squadrons to let's talk about some Thrawn.
Baby Thrawn.
Wait, what?
Not really, baby. Just younger Thrawn.
Oh, younger Thrawn. So I just finished the book. I read the book. You just did the audiobook, so you got to hear all the voice acting and everything.
I finished about a year and a half ago. Yep. So I don't remember anything.
No, I'm kidding. Shut up. So was it actually the same voice acting in the audiobook?
The same voice acting as what?
Like, was Thrawn, was, who was doing the...
No, I think it was Kevin Thompson again. It's the guy who's done all the... Kevin, he's done all the Thrawn books. Yeah, he does a really good Thrawn. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I was curious about. It was the same
It
guy.
wasn't
So.
like a cast, if that's what you meant.
No. I don't know why I was thinking in my head like Dr. Aphra, for instance, because they,
I'm gonna search it real quick just to make sure, but I'm pretty sure it was Kevin Thompson.
Kevin, yeah, because he did the first three.
I believe he did the old trilogy too. I'm just so used to hearing his voice, so.
Yeah, no, he's a common Star Wars voice, or
He's the
at
best. He's
least,
the best one. I like. I
yeah,
haven't had
one.
one that I hate, but I do like him the best.
Really?
Kevin
There hasn't been
Thompson?
one.
Mark Thompson. Sorry, why was I thinking Kevin
Mark
Thompson?
Thompson,
Yeah,
yeah.
he's awesome. Is there another guy
I don't
named
know.
Kevin? Maybe I'm mixing the
No,
two
I'm thinking
together.
of no. There's I'm just thinking like voice like
Yeah, he's done all the Thrawns. He's done all. He did the Old Republic series. He
Yep.
did. He did A New Dawn. He did Dark Disciple. He's done so many.
Yeah, I remember him
He
in
was in
Dark
Jedi
Disciple.
Lost. He did Last Shot. He did Ahsoka. Although Ahsoka, I thought was maybe not.
No,
Maybe
he
this is
didn't.
just le so these are just listing Star Wars books. It's weird. I clicked him, and then that put everything in there. Anyways, he's done a million of them. So
No, it was who was it
I know
for
it was actually
Ahsoka?
Eckstein. Yes,
No.
it
For
was. I'm on it
Ahsoka?
right now. Yep.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought it was just a girl.
Nope. There is a lady that does them a lot, who's really good too. But
Yeah.
Mark Thompson does most of them. Anyways,
Yeah.
sorry, I digress. Mark Thompson did do all the ones I listed, except they just for some reason didn't list. They listed Ahsoka for some
Oh,
That's
that's
so
weird. Yeah,
weird.
I don't remember. I don't. Yeah. Anyways, all
Yeah.
right. So, I'm gonna say this book, and I'm just gonna give an overall opinion of it.
Okay.
So I liked the world building a lot. I liked that they built up the Chiss Ascendancy. I liked they built up a lot of the characters, where Thrawn was from, the whole political vibe. With like all the ruling houses and stuff, almost like a Game of Thrones-ish political type of thing, where but not too deep. It wasn't to a point where it was like they're killing each other over it. Also, we should say spoilers. If you haven't read this book,
Check out.
turn off just turn off the podcast. So because we're gonna probably spoil some stuff. So, anyways, so there was a lot of that political stuff in there, which was really cool. And then just, Thrawn in general, you get to see it flips back and forth between his what's in the book, it's called memories. And
Like
it goes back
flashbacks,
and
kind of things,
the
yeah.
flashbacks and stuff. So not only him, but Ar-Lani too, which is awesome because I actually really like her character too. So overall, as a book, I liked all that aspect, all the character building, all the world building, everything. Plot wise, I thought the plot was strong up until the end,
Okay.
and that I felt it fell flat. I thought it was going in a completely different direction, and it kind of went in the direction of this is really straightforward. I'm not gonna just bring it out, but like basically, I thought it was going in a different way just based on how the book was set up. Especially with the ascendancy and everything. And it didn't go in that direction for me. It went straight to Yiv, for instance. So with that, I felt like the plot kind of weakened at the end. But overall, I thought the book was a good step. I thought it was an origin book, prequel book. So
Yep.
it's not, I didn't expect anything crazy out of it. And we got to learn more about Thrawn and where he comes from. So I mean, I can't really complain about that. I thought it was great. In terms of that. So I don't know what it was like. I'm sure you'll know better from comparisons to like Legends and stuff because you've read those books. So
Well, so the only one I haven't written is Outbound Flight, and that was the one that got more into the Chiss stuff. So it
okay.
doesn't
So
really this yeah there's not a ton of legend stuff that really gets into this that I've read, like, because I read the other ones, the ones that happened later. So
that was kind of my curiosity was whether it was going to be similar to Legends, or if there was going to be a lot of discrepancies,
I don't know how deep they got into it even in Outbound Flight. I'll have to read that just to check, but I don't think they ever got super super deep.
Not like this.
No,
Like the
they
this is
mentioned stuff
very
because people did mention like, oh, like I think the Vagri were in it, which was one of the alien races. They were mentioned
yeah.
in Outbound Flight, I believe, but I won't touch on that too much because I didn't read that, so I don't know.
Yeah, so that so I think overall it was a good book. I mean, I liked it. I'd probably rank it probably third out of them, maybe
So what is your
between two.
ranking? If
So the
this is
first
considered
one,
the prequel, and then 1, 2, 3 are 1, 2, 3.
it would go Thrawn, then I would probably go Treason, then
So
this, and
1, 3,
1-3
prequel
prequel
two.
two.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I did like the flashback to Alliances.
Yeah,
I
no.
thought that was
That actually added a little bit. We both
really,
have,
that helped
yeah,
with it.
yep.
Yeah,
I thought that was neat. Yeah, I agree. It
but
also put it in the
yeah.
timeline a little bit.
Yeah, because that was another thing too. I was trying to figure out, I was like, where the heck does this land? And then
The
that gave
Clone
it
Wars is
away.
well underway. Yep.
Yeah. So it was it definitely cleared up a lot of those questions, but it was it didn't it kind of makes me want to read Alliances again, but it doesn't at the same time because Alliances, I just remember reading that and just being like,
So I
yeah.
reread them all 6 months ago, like at the beginning of like COVID, and it adds a little bit, but it wouldn't make the reading of Alliances that much different. It just gives you the motive and that
Why
Thrawn
he's
had
going
it
there.
set up the whole time. It really wouldn't add much.
Right. So,
What would add much is if this had come out first and then they wrote Alliances, then it would be like, wow, like that's what happened when that little thing that he explained. You know what I mean? Because it happens pretty quick in this.
I think it also helped fill out the third book. I think it helped in that sense because you start reading the third book and you can tell there's a lot of like, and there's still a lot of questions to be answered from the third book in terms of like, you know, why did Thrawn leave, et cetera, all that stuff. So there, in terms of the ascendancy though, it kind of shows you, it gives you all that information. Now it makes more sense to me, like some of the decisions that were made in book three, some of the events that took place, like now it makes a little more sense to me as to why like the Chiss did what they did. So I thought this book really helped in that fashion. I thought the third book was just a better, I thought the story was better. There was a way better villain in my opinion. And what was going on, I thought was way more, I thought was more, integral to the universe, whereas
Gotcha.
this was kind of just like more, like I said, more of an origin kind of story. It wasn't really meant to be that like ground shattering kind of book. I didn't expect it to be, so I don't know. So what was your thoughts? Where would you rank this book, and what did you think overall about this book?
Yeah, so I liked it. I had the same sim I had a similar thought to Yiv at the end. I was le I would didn't really bother me just because like if this is going to be the first book in a trilogy as well, there needs to be an advancement in villain, you know what I mean? So
Yeah.
Yiv was decent. He actually did, I wouldn't say he beat Thrawn, but he tricked Thrawn a couple times and made his overall plan tougher to execute at the end. So I think he was, especially since this is Thrawn before all his battles that we know about, right? So this is almost kind of his first big proving ground one, right? So Yiv didn't need to be Palpatine, right? But I do
No.
understand. It's weird when you do this because if we're growing Thrawn through his actions, he doesn't really seem like, to be honest with you, the only I will mention this. He seems to be proven in this to just be born a prodigy. Right? There's not much learning. He didn't really ever struggle. He was smarter than everyone every step of the way, all along the line, which is not bad. It's kind of proven by this, right? He was
It's
just
all
he was born special.
right. So the formula is there. He's already been like his formula is already there. One of the biggest, and maybe I should have just said this, was one of the things that I was hoping for. And maybe it's not fleshed out yet, and maybe it's not, maybe it is part of the plot. The ruling families, I thought they were going to turn out like someone or some family within those nine ruling families was going to be part of the villain or the anti-hero or whatever that the antagonist.
Oh, they are. They are.
Yeah, but it's not. Yes, but not like it wasn't outward. Like it wasn't like
it is okay, because in the other, I forget the exact mentions, but Thrawn mentions it, I believe, when he's talking to either Eli or Arlani or maybe both. He mentions a couple times that the threat may be within the Chiss Ascendancy as well, like that the Grisk may have already infiltrated. So yes, in the book they don't dive into it.
I was hoping they would dive into that.
I think that's because we have two more books coming. So I think they will dive into that. But I think it's set up for that, right? With what is the guy's the head myth that Thalias meets with. And he basically says, I've been grooming Thrawn. Thrawn is the answer. There's a lot of
of the myth.
Yeah, you mean like the patriarch or whatever. Yeah. He basically lays it out for Thalias that Thrawn's special. He's the one, like he is, stuff's going on in the myth that like he will sniff out and that there's corruption there, right? Or not the myth, the Chiss. Oh my God. Myth, Chiss. Yeah. So I think he sees it. And so Thalias is set up to be kind of like a person that's been directly told that Thrawn's been chosen for something bigger, right? I think this also sets up, and basically you can confirm it at this point, that Thrawn's eventual exile when he goes to the Empire is not just completely his idea. So when he originally says, like, I've been cast away, exiled, and then later you find out that, like, he may not have been exiled, I think it's like a mix. You know what I mean? I think this proves that it's not just a plan by the Chiss that's like, okay, yeah, you're our best guy. Go out there and research. And it's also not just a complete, it probably won't be a complete exile. It'll probably kind of be a thing that like he's willing to go. He thinks this is a good idea. This is a good time to get him away from the Chiss because we don't want him here. So it's like a dual, like, yeah, sure, go. You know what I mean?
Do you think Arlani, so in the third book, and I'm just trying to, I haven't read the third book in a while, so... Mm-hmm. Was she very like pissy, I guess, towards Thrawn? Like, was she kind of like standoffish with him?
A little bit. Arlani, this book makes Arlani my favorite character in the Chiss. Like, I like her more than Thrawn because I think she.
And they should fall in love.
Maybe, I don't know. There was some hinting at whether they're just socially awkward and Thrawn doesn't get it or like, but. Yeah, I actually like Arlani more than Thrawn because I think she's in an interesting, I think she's, Thrawn is really good, but again, proven in this book, he's a one note character so far. He just was special and strategy is his thing and he's just going to outthink you, right? But he'll get tangled into politics and that is where it gets messy, right, with him? Right. I think Arlani's fascinating because she, in her own right, is a brilliant strategic tactician, right? She's one of the few people that can... Yeah, but in both ways, right? So some people, like Thalias, understand him in that they know he's smarter than them, right? And they're going to take his advice, but she's not a strategist, you know what I mean? Strategist. So she doesn't really know what's happening. She just goes with it. And she believes that he's got... the overall good in mind, right? Whereas Arlani has the unique position of being above him most of the time. I don't know really where it falls once he goes to the Empire. I guess they're different factions, but she is his superior, and she's one of the few that trusts him, right? Mm-hmm. She does, but she also has to kind of play by the rules because she doesn't fully go down the, like, you know what I mean? She does think he's a little nuts sometimes and that he doesn't handle some of the politician stuff great, politics stuff great. But she also is, she's also one of the few, if any, that also picks up on his moves very quickly.
Right.
So not everyone and not instantly. She's kind of like Eli, but she also puts together her own plans and is a superior to him. Right? Whereas Eli learns from Thrawn and starts to be able to pick up stuff as Thrawn kind of lays it out for him. Whereas Ar-Alani can figure out half the stuff that Thrawn does before he even lays it out.
So she's
fascinating to me. So
Eli is going to be that. That'll be interesting too to see what happens with him as well.
If it gets to that point in these books, yeah. Well, so yeah. I'm still interested. Has Zahn completely confirmed? A, it is a trilogy. Do we know that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, trilogy.
And do we know that they're all technically? Has he come out and said they're all prequels? So, like, in other words, this could have been the prequel. And then these could turn into the Thrawn and Ezra books.
I would have a feeling that the second book would probably be another prequel.
I'm just saying we don't have that. They very well could take place, you know what I mean? Like further into the future.
I would have a hard time believing all three books would be prequels just because, like,
yeah.
Unless they're going to answer the Thrawn Ezra stuff through TV show or something.
I mean, they
like
will, but there's still an opportunity to maybe the TV show doesn't. This is where the cross media thing's really interesting, right? Maybe the third book gets into their initial, like, maybe the third book develops Thrawn and Ezra's relationship mm-hmm. once they get to wherever they're going and can even take place over years. And then the TV show follows Ahsoka and Sabine, and they find Thrawn and Ezra, and they have a grand storyline there. You know what I mean? And the Thrawn book builds up Thrawn and Ezra.
Yeah, maybe.
There's plenty of room there, I think, for that. But yeah, so overall, I put it second. Right. I go 1 prequel, 3-2 in my ranking. I find 1 to be what this was, world building. Obviously this is Chiss and stuff we haven't heard of, but I thought the world building was really interesting in the original Thrawn, because you get it's introducing him and to the Empire, right? And his path through the Empire, through the ranks and stuff, which is really interesting. You get Eli. So I think there's, like you were saying, I think there's a more intriguing plot line to 1 with Night Swan. So I think that's more interesting. So that's my number 1. And I do agree. I think 3 has a more on the line than the prequel, but just the sheer amount of new information about the Chiss and the unknown regions and what we're getting with the Grisk, even though I know the Grisk are they're not even mentioned technically. But that setup out there is more important to me, the canon lore fan, than 3 was. We already knew he comes back to Lothal and the Ezra thing happened. So whatever happened in 3 was not overly important. I still really liked it. I think the most important thing that happened in 3 was his conversation with Palpatine at the very end of it, where Palpatine's like, go back, fix Lothal, and then we're going to have a long talk about if you're actually on my side. And that's fascinating, because that's the initial fraying of his attachment to the Imperial Navy.
And then
he gets dragged in the unknown regions with Ezra, and there can be a whole rebuilding, because we know from the biggest difference, and this is an important point I wanted to make too, the biggest difference between Thrawn of Legends and Thrawn of Canon is that Thrawn of Legends was slightly more evil. Okay. He was always cold and calculating, and he did always toe the line of, like, I don't think he was ever, like, super sadistic, right? Like, he's not Palpatine, but he was a little more, cutthroat's not even the right word. He just was a little more evil.
Yeah.
They took that away from him, I think, almost completely. He is almost completely analytical in canon. So he's very easy to turn to a good guy. You know what I mean? Maybe also the setting's different. He kind of took over the Empire after Palpatine died in Legends, so there wasn't really... He was the leader of that whole thing at that point. You know what I mean? Whereas this, he goes away before the Empire falls. So he doesn't really own the Empire, so it's not like he can just come in and turn the galaxy the way he wants. You know what I mean? So there is a difference there. But did you read any of the old Legends Thrones?
No, but I was going to say there is a big parallel too, and I don't know why we didn't even mention this, but between how he's treated within the Chiss Ascendancy and then the previous books, how he's treated in the Imperial Navy. It's actually kind of the same. He's kind of
It's very much the
always
same.
been he's always been
And that's
that.
why I think he's much more the good guy in these, because he
Yeah.
is always his main goal is always looking out for the galaxy as a whole. He's trying to find the bigger problems,
Yep.
right? Like that's why he's not a rebel, is not because he doesn't think that they're better. He thinks there's a bigger threat and the Empire's a better chance of defeating that threat than a little rebel alliance. You know what I mean? So he's not, I mean, he aligns more, I think, with that type of militaristic imperialism kind of thing, because that's kind of, well, you know what? In a weird way, he aligns more, I feel like he almost aligns more with the Empire, with like the imperialistic kind of view, than he does with his own race, the Chiss, because they're very non-intervention, right? Like
Right.
they're the arguably the most powerful that they know of in the unknown regions, but they will not attack other people unless they attack them. They just sit there and be like, yep, we're the most powerful, don't touch us, right? Whereas the Empire tries to spread. And not that Thrawn necessarily wants to spread, but Thrawn definitely has the idea of like, no, we can be preemptive if I can, because he's confident in his breakdowns of threats. So yeah, I just think the biggest difference, and again, did you read The Legend? Sorry.
No,
So the
no.
biggest, so also I think a reason that this gets set up like that is that Thrawn is the main character of his books, okay? And they pose like Night Swan, especially at first, as the enemy, right? You don't get to see a lot of Night Swan's point of view, okay?
Yeah.
In Legends, it's the Thrawn books, but you also have chapters, a lot of half the book is from Luke, Han, Leia, these other characters' point of view. So Thrawn in his own books is the antagonist in Legends. He's the protagonist in canon. And so that alone gives him more of like, you're on his side. But I think there's just a hint more of evil in his Legends characters. It'd be really interesting for you to read them at some point now that your Thrawn, the Thrawn that you've been introduced to and like your Thrawn, is very easily converted to a good guy because he doesn't care about the Empire. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
It's different he's presented much different in Legends. He may be ultimately the same character, you know what I mean? Like you'll recognize his strategy and stuff like that, but he's a hint more evil, which may make him, in some ways, I think people like the old Thrawn because of that, because he is a bad guy. He's an interesting bad guy, but he's a bad guy. In
Yeah.
canon, I think he's more interesting because he's not a bad guy. He's
That we
not,
know yet.
he's not a bad guy. I don't th He's not a villain. You know what I mean? He's on the wrong side if you're a rebel fan, which, obviously we are. But I would say basically the Rebels TV show, how you see Thrawn, is very much the only version of Thrawn you get in the Thrawn Legend books. He's the bad guy, you have good guys, but you see a lot from
Yeah.
his point of view. Whereas canon, with the point of view with his books, there's no real good guys against him. You know what I mean? They're posed as
Right.
bad guys, even though they're rebels, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he
Yeah, I'll
even
have to read
offers,
up.
that's the biggest thing, right? I'd venture to bet, and again, it's a different timeline. It's after the Empire's fallen, so it's different. But Thrawn even offers Night Swan to go to the Chiss.
Oh yeah,
And
that's
Night
right.
Swan
I
goes
forgot about that.
back to his own death, that they both agree, like, dude, you're gonna die, but I'll give you an opportunity. You can go to the Chiss in basically no uncertain terms. Basically, what Eli got, you know what I mean? He was
Yeah.
gonna send Neville to do Neville Signe, right? Was his name? He was gonna
Yep.
send, and he chooses not to. Legends Thrawn would have never done that.
Right. I
But
didn't think
Legends
about
Thrawn
that.
doesn't. Legends Thrawn's different. I don't know his Chiss relationship at that point. And again, he runs the Empire at that point, so.
Right. Yeah,
But
it's
yeah,
interesting.
sorry, I rambled on there for a little bit, but
No, that's fine.
he's fascinating to me. But Ar'Alani from this book has become my favorite character in
Yeah,
his
she
this
was.
arc. I like Eli too, but Ar'Alani just has a super interesting, like, she's almost just as smart as him, just a tad
Yeah.
behind. And she's just probably because she's just not psycho like him. You know what I mean? But she can
Yeah.
pick up on it, and she has the ability to play politics and play a better quote unquote human, you know what I mean? Like a better person than Thrawn does. Thrawn just doesn't have interpersonal skills.
Right. Yeah. And you see like the Arlani was definitely my favorite character too.
Yeah.
Within the book. I mean, it was interesting to see her upbringing, and I didn't even realize at first that it was her.
Oh, because also, yeah, Iziazarl, yeah, because the way they pronounce it. It was interesting to find out Thrawn was Naru Thrawn or something.
Yeah, it was completely different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. So so that was all. That was really interesting. So
You should reread the canon ones, because I think this adds more to Arlani than it adds to Thrawn.
Yeah, I think I'm gonna have to read. You know what I mean? Maybe the first,
the third one would be super interesting. How? Because I read that before this one. The third one would be interesting to read now, and knowing what their relationship was before, and knowing more about Arlani, how much that changes your view on the conversations between them. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah, I'll have to get that. I just got Dark Disciple again, so.
Oh, okay. Nice.
I'm gonna read that again, because that's one of my favorites. But yeah, I'll have to check that out.
What do you think about some whisperings? Are you done? Sorry. Are you done on Thrawn?
Yeah.
Okay, just to end it, I totally forgot about this. What do you think about the whispering? So I didn't mention this in the Verla thing. So this is for the Mandalorian. I feel like this will pump you up. So let me just quickly give you the rundown on Verla and why it's super interesting. Mm-hmm. There was a Padawan. He wasn't a Jedi yet. That was like, he trained with like Anakin as a youngling. Okay. He escaped Order 66. He was an Itachi, the devil looking guys with the horns, and one of his horns is cut. So he escapes Order 66 and he goes to Mon Cala. Okay. And he gets basically the ear of the king there, King Leechar, I think at the time. And he kind of sways him against the Empire and kind of like tells him the way it is, right? He's a little bit of a loose cannon at this point. I forget his name. His last name's like Barr. I forget his first name. And he gets acolytes and he kind of like gets them to believe in the Force or something. Only one of them is actually Force sensitive, which is Verla. Okay. So she's like his acolyte. Vader basically comes to Mon Cal to hunt him down. Kills all the acolytes, ends up killing Barr, but Verla escapes, okay? Mm-hmm. And before she escapes, he specifically tells her to go find some of the Jedi, and he knows three that are still, he doesn't know that they're living. He just knows that they're not dead, not confirmed dead. And the three he lists for her to go find, Yoda, Obi-Wan, and Quinlan Vos.
Oh...
So he specifically mentioned to Verla for her to go find. Okay. So anyways, it's kind of interesting with Barr. He basically does this thing that shoots down an Imperial that blah, 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 blah. He actually kind of is really important in Mon Cal building using the ships for the Alliance. Cause he kind of fucks with the Empire coming there and gets aggressive. And basically they blame it on Leechar. Like they blame it on the Mon Cal. So, I believe Tarkin's there and he fucking like boils the water with lasers and shit. They fuck up Mon Cal. And so Mon Cal then goes like, yeah, we're against the Empire. We're open. And they send, I think that was the Darth Vader thing. I'll look it up for you. I had read it actually in the path. One of the Darth Vader ones. I'll find it for you. Anyways.
Yeah.
So then Verla, so that's like after the Clone Wars, right? I'm not sure how far after, but like it's way before A New Hope. This is when I think it is Vader, because this is the Vader comic where he's just going down and hunting all the people on the list and anyone that escaped.
I've read the Vader comic, so I'm trying to remember.
You may have seen this. It just doesn't connect because Verla was a nobody at this point, and this came out a long time ago. You know what I mean? So the reason that it's interesting is because she just showed up in that fishing town that looks exactly like the movie, because right after Luke fights Vader, gets his hand chopped off, right? He gets like dreams of someone that's going to give him a lightsaber. So he goes to this planet, it's called Sorrelia, and that's where she is, Verla. And he finds her and she kind of freaks out because she's been attacked by Inquisitors and stuff. So she thinks he's an Inquisitor. Anyways, all this stuff happens. She basically is like against the force. She's like, "You don't know what you're doing, kid. You're gonna get killed." But she brings him to like the temple he's looking for and goes, "Good luck." But then she disappears again. So it never tells you. She didn't say like she specifically, she said she looked for a while or something. So it doesn't sound like she found them, but she doesn't specifically say like, "I found nobody." You know what I mean? So Quinlan, like it was very interesting to me, especially since with the Mandalorian dancing around this thing, that like if that's the same planet and Verla is somehow involved because it looks so similar, it'd be really interesting.
Is it the 2017 Darth Vader? This one?
Dude,
Oh,
I
maybe.
have no
Yeah,
idea.
you can't.
Like just Google like Mon Cal Darth Vader.
Yeah, this is the Mon Cal one.
Okay. Yeah. The
It
guy's
says
name is Bar.
2017.
He's in Itachi. But anyways,
Said,
yeah.
interesting. All right, I'll have to check that out.
Yeah, I thought that would interest you. Quinlan
Yep.
out there.
Yeah, he's the best Jedi out there, you know?
All right, we
He's
crushed it on time
top
today.
three. What?
I said we crushed it on time tonight. So we'll
Yeah.
call it here.
Okay. All right. So, oh crap, I didn't realize that actually was pretty long, huh?
Yeah, hour and a half.
All right. So I guess this concludes another episode of Pod Between Worlds. Thank you all for joining us. And as always, check us out on Instagram at the Podawans. We're also on all podcast streaming services. We're on Twitch right now, twitch.tv/thePodawans. And we also post all of our podcasts on YouTube, which you can search the Podawans and find us there. Recently on YouTube, Ollie just did a video on the planets of the Mandalorian, and we also did the Mandalorian season 2 trailer breakdown. So go
Check them
check
out.
those out. Other than that, we'll catch you later, Podawans.